Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that most often you will not hear from any pulpit. Most often you'll not hear from pastors, preachers, theologians about the lie that's being perpetrated upon all of Americans, the false, phony, fake news carrying the water for the fake documentation that claims that our globe is spinning out of control. We're getting, depends on which channel you're on, it's either getting hotter and hotter or it's getting colder and colder. They can't decide yet whether or not it's freezing or we're melting. And I'm going to share with you some data that's been accumulative since the late 50s and the early 60s. And each time they've made the scream of wolf, that it's been a lie and it's been deception each and every time. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the question of whether or not God has lost control of this old world. In Genesis, the first chapter and the 26th verse, the scripture says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after the likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." God said, after he created man, that man is to be the one that's in dominion over, having control over this old world. And yet somehow, some way, our socialist, Marxist leadership in Washington is screaming wolf and saying that somehow, some way, we need to abrogate our responsibility as human beings and shift it to the United Nations and allow the United Nations to tax Americans and tell us what we can cannot do as far as our plants and our cars, etc. AOC, the one that's literally in control of the U.S. House of Representatives, says that we need to stop cows because of cow flatulings that's destroying the ozone layer. We need to stop airplanes and stop having air travel. We need to stop having the tall skyscraper buildings. We need to discontinue to use coal or oil or gasoline. And somehow, some way, we're to go back to the 16th and 17th century, and everything will be all right. We're going to preserve the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, the latest was, I read an article where a professor said that, and he's a professor of one of the major universities, said that we may need to start eliminating human beings from the globe in order to save the planet. Did you hear that? That we need to start eliminating human beings, that we can save the planet? What's the planet for if God created it for man and said for man to have dominion over it? I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes. Thank you. God bless you, Dr. Youngblood, for what you're doing. Keep up the good work. As you have been emphasizing, the main thing is that these people who are supporting and backing the global warming or climate change, whatever, they have dismissed, just as you have been saying, they have dismissed God out of the picture. God is not in the picture for them. God, there is no God, or if God is dead, whichever, he's not around. They are in charge, and of course, they're wiser than God, too, because God gave us the cattle, cows, and for the planet. God didn't realize that cows would be dangerous for the planet, but they know, and they are indoctrinating our children. They're hardened to working on it from kindergarten right up. In learning institutions, and the indoctrination that there is no God, putting God completely out the picture. So no wonder they claim that they can fix the planet and do things. And as you say, everything is tied up. They want the population go down. So these people don't mind it stirring up fighting and warring, and that's their plan, because they want chaos and people die because the population need to be cut down, and who remain, who survive, enjoy the sweet of the land. This is the kind of thing that they're looking forward to do
if I could interrupt for just a moment and your train of thought, hang in there, but listen, here's what's happening. We have these alarmists saying that the globe is getting warmer. We're about to destroy ourselves. We've got 12 years to live before the earth is gone, according to AOC. And at the same time, through our college and our universities and our grade schools and even in grammar school, we're teaching the kids that God does not exist. We're teaching our children that we evolved from some blob in the ocean. They're pushing the religion of evolution and rejecting the Bible, rejecting the Word of God, rejecting the Ten Commandments, and further perpetrating the lie and saying to those same children that God doesn't exist. exist, but man is in control, and man has to urgently do something. Our planet, our Earth, is going to be gone. It's frightening students to death. It's frightening our younger generation. In fact, most if not all, of the millennials are now saying they don't want to get married, they don't want to produce offspring, they don't want to have children, because why bring a child into the world in the near future when in the near future the Earth is going to be destroyed?
That's where things are going.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your call and for your insight and input. Keep on praying. That's what Christians do. Keep on studying the Word. You see, the Scripture says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And that's what's happening today. These folks claim to be wise, and according to the Word of God, they become fools. Foolishness in what they're saying, because they're using earthly wisdom and not heavenly wisdom. And earthly wisdom, according to the book of James, the Bible says is earthly, sensual, and demonic. And that's what we have today, is demonic wisdom rather than divine wisdom. And divine wisdom comes only through the Word of God, by the child of God, as he studies the Word of God. And Christians of all people should be more enlightened through the Word of God than to believe a demonic lie that somehow, some way, the earth is coming to an end and is going to be destroyed because of the global warming. Well, I'll talk about it a little further in the broadcast. There is a global warming that's coming, and the earth is going to be destroyed by fire, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 12. And God's going to destroy this whole earth, and there's a hotter place than that, and it's called hell. And those that disbelieve God and ban God and reject God will find themselves in a true global warming scenario, but they can't get out. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, Why Climate Change Made Me Quit Teaching. I find it fascinating and sad at the same time. From biology teacher to a climate educator. A little over a year ago, I left my ninth grade biology classroom, my home, and my passion for 6 years because I did not have the time and support by the to help the young people address the one issue that will affect them the most. The pittance of lessons my colleagues and I managed to squeeze into our curricula were often squandered on the minuteness of the science of the distraction that is climate denial. This teacher says that she left teaching because she didn't have enough climate change material to teach in the classroom, and she got concerned because she said in this article that the most important thing affecting our students today in the classroom is climate change and not academia. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what these climate freaks believe. They believe they have bought the lie. They have become so wise in and of themselves, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. And as a fool, they've decided, I don't need to teach because my students need to know more about climate change and less about reading, writing, and arithmetic, if you please. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
It is sad to see so many that have bought this. It's a socialist agenda. You know, the intention.
Absolutely.
It's admitted many times that they basically want to take from the wealthier countries, i.e. the United States, and give to the poorer countries, bring down – I mean, it's like the cultural Marxism that we see prevalent in one ideology after another. It's constantly driven to take down essentially the United States. This little kid that spoke at the United Nations the other day, she said the same kind of stuff that a little kid did in 1992. Making this out to be an emergency, a catastrophic emergency. And I'd like for folks to actually analyze the terminology. Now, back when I was a kid, they were trying to do the same thing, but they wanted to call it an ice age. We were headed for an ice age back in the 70s. Now, this is all over the internet. All you have to do is just keyword search, you know, ice age, coming ice age, and 72 Cronkite or 74 Cronkite did a big thing on it. There are a series of videos on it, news stories all over. We were supposed to be headed for an ice age.
Now, that's right.
And they keep shifting the terminology as well. Climate means the weather conditions prevailing in an area in general or over a long period. Now, climate has changed decade by decade, century by century, millennia by millennia since God created the earth. Climate has never been static. Climate has never stayed the same. I'm not talking about seasons. Climate has never stayed the same. There's always been variability. These folks are steadily lying to deceiving folks, and they start out with deceiving with their language because they called it global warming. You know, that's what Al Gore called it, global warming, right? Now, it wasn't just global warming. It was man-caused, or what they scientifically call anthropogenic. That means man-caused. And it wasn't just man-caused. It was catastrophic anthropogenic global warming. So I'm going to make them eat those terms. You show me, leftist, call in today. You show me where we have definitive anthropogenic catastrophic global warming on the horizon. You don't have any science to prove that, but you are scaring these kids, these minds full of mush, as Rush would call them. You're scaring them to death. I mean, the reality is, if we track back about 300 years ago, we show a warmer spell that was much warmer than it is today. If you track back 120 years ago, Mendenhall Glacier began to retreat. Now, this is before we had a real industrial revolution, so why did Mendenhall Glacier begin to retreat? Well, I've got something bigger for you. Before Mendenhall Glacier was there, you know what was there? A stinking forest was there. Trees more than 1,000 years old were right where Mendenhall Glacier is today. So tell me, what caused that global warming, and how long did it carry on for there to be a forest underneath Mendenhall Glacier? Look it up, folks. It's right there. This is so stinking simple. Now, there's a big ball of fire up in the sky. We call it the sun. That joker, when it goes through solar minimums and solar maximums, when you have the solar flares that are taking place, that's when you have the Earth get a little warmer. All right, and when you go to a minimum, that's when the Earth gets a little cooler. There's a fella in the edge of Europe there that I forget the name. It was Weather Underground, not the terrorist group, but a group that does long-range forecast, and he sells them to major ag producers. They literally, many of these folks, set their clock, you know, their planting season, their harvesting season, based on his predictions. And he'll predict out a year or more in advance what he sees as far as weather systems, major weather systems in different areas. And you know what he uses? He uses solar activity and lunar cycles. Oh my goodness, folks! Yet the meteorologists that we watch on TV, they can't tell you if it's going to rain tomorrow, okay? These people that can't tell you if it's going to rain tomorrow want to tell you that the Earth is on this catastrophic course for, you know, it's going to implode, it's going to melt down. And guess what? This last United Nations vote, they voted to keep Earth's temperature with no more than a 1.5 degrees Celsius variability. Really? They voted that? How arrogant. Again, you just said it. Men, thinking themselves wise, became fools. That's what the Bible says, and that's exactly what these people are today. They're lunatics with a political agenda absolutely disguised as science. It's pseudoscience. It's fake. It's not real.
That science is just about as solid and as true as the news media, isn't it? Greg, I'm thankful that you have called in. I want to have further dialogue and discussion with you. If you'll take, hang in there and let me just share some article, this particular article for our listeners, and then you and I can talk about it for their edification and benefit. Title of this article is Apocalypse Not, Proof That Climate Predictions Are Always, Always Wrong, is the title of the article. It was only days ago that the socialist U.S. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat of New York, claimed that in a few years, Miami would disappear because of global warming. In fact, the think tank has compiled a list of all of the foreboding predictions of the past half century of coming global catastrophic issues, catastrophes. Modern doomsdayers have been predicting climate environmental disaster since the early 60s. They continue to do so today. And they report, and all that they report is not true. For example, the Los Angeles Times reported in 1967 that Stanford University's Paul Ehrlich warned already was too late for the world to avoid a long period of famine. Most disastrous by 1975, said one report. Ehrlich said population biologists had several others in 1969, warned that by 1989, everyone would disappear in a cloud of blue steam. Oops, so wrong again. 1907, the New York Times reported on the threat that James P. Lodge, Jr., a pollution expert who said there would be an ice age by the year of 2000. Oops, wrong again. In 1970, NASA, S.I. Sol, said that over the next 5 to 10 years, there would be such a temperature decrease that it would be sufficient to trigger a brand new ice age. Further, in 1974, the London Guardian warned a new ice age was coming fast. 1976 was New York Times book review of work by Stephen Snyder on the National Center for Astrospheric Research in Boulder, Colorado. He warned that of insufficient food reserves for the coming famines, claiming to have developed his warning as responsible and accurate as it ever could be. 1978, the AP reported, there was no end in sight for global cooling. But the Lansing State Journal warned to prepare for a long, hot summer in 1988. The year of Environmental Affairs Director said the island nation would be underwater by 2018. AP reported in 1989 that Jim Hansen, the New York City's West Side Highway, would be underwater this year. Al Gore, the famed for his inaccurate prediction, said in 2008 that the Arctic would be ice-free during the summer of 2013. In 2009, Prince Charles said that there would were only 96 months. Now, listen, that was in 2009. We have only 96 months to save the world. Earlier this month, leading Democratic presidential candidate held a town hall meeting on the issue and warned about the existential threat posed by climate change. Before the end of the month, 2020 candidates are expected to have another climate forum at Georgetown University. It goes further and further. It talks about in the movies, Al Gore said 10 years ago when the movie An Innocent Truth, Inconvenient Truth came out, the single most criticized scene was an animated scene showing the combination of a sea level rise and storm surge would put the ocean water in 9/11 memorial sites that was then under construction. And the people said, that's ridiculous. What a terrible exaggeration. Bottom line of the article says, scientist Art Robinson has spearheaded the petition project, which has gathered the signatures of at least 31,487 scientists who agree that there is no convincing scientific evidence that human release of carbon dioxide, methane, or other greenhouse gases is causing or will cause in the foreseeable future any catastrophic heating of the Earth and the Earth's atmosphere disruption of the Earth's climate, end quote. Greg, what do you think about that? That's what proving what you've just said a moment ago, that over and over and over we have these freakouts, and it's picked up by the news media, then picked up by the politicians that believe that somehow, some way, man can control what God is in control of. The whole point that I make, Greg, that I want our listeners to understand, as Christians, we need to understand where our hope is. We need to understand where our promises are. We need to understand who is in control. It's not man, but it's God.
Well, there's an element that you've covered so many bases. There's an element that I think many miss out on, and this agenda is not just it's a socialist agenda, but there's an insidious side of it. I mean, it's insidious enough. It's insidious enough to promote socialism, knowing the damage that it causes. But think about it. Now AOC, that brilliant child. Graduated Boston with a degree in economics. Now, she couldn't balance a checkbook if she had to. The girl is so brilliant, she didn't know what a garbage disposal – I'm not kidding. She didn't know what a garbage disposal was up until like 2 months ago, all right? This child could not rent an apartment in D.C. until she got her first check, all right? She couldn't balance the books as a bartender. I think she still owes tax money. But she somehow or another, taught by a bunch of wacko leftist Chicago professors that happen to be employed by Boston University now, she came out with all this craziness. She wants to reform our entire economic system. But this insidious dark side she didn't come up with it. She didn't come up with it. But I want you to hear this. They consider carbon dioxide a pollutant. Think about that for just a moment. What do we breathe out as human beings? We breathe out carbon dioxide. That means we've got 6 billion polluters on this planet. These folks truly have an ideology that would lead you down a dark path towards seeing human beings as bad, all right?
Absolutely. Now, that's the reason, as I stated earlier, and you might have heard that portion of the broadcast where there's a professor, and The document is not before me, so I do not have his name, but he is one of the major prestigious universities in America, and he has said that because of humans, we're having this global warming, this climate change, this major, massive, catastrophic problem, and he said we may need to start eradicating human beings. And I'm concerned about that, because from that standpoint, if that becomes a rationale, then every child in the womb is in more danger. Every adult in senior years of perhaps disability would stand in greater harm's way if there's a mindset we need to reduce the number of human beings on the globe to save planet Earth.
Think of how these are fitting together. Now, there's a socialist Marxist ideology behind the global warming scam, all right? Socialism, Marxism, always denies supply and demand principles. Supply and demand works. When you try to manipulate supply and demand, you end up with shortages. You point out to me any government that has gone to price controls where they did not create a shortage. Now, when there are shortages, instead of having grocery stores that line up food for you, instead you find yourself lining up for bread in a bread line, or soup in a soup line. You get the comparison there? Yeah. There are shortages in every single Marxist system, every single socialist system. There are shortages. Now, when there are shortages, all of a sudden you go, okay, we got to have more food, or we got to have less mouths, one or the other. So these two will work in concert with one another. I mean, there's already a socialist basis, but creating the shortage will then give way to them saying, well, they're already polluters, they're already consuming. Well, what are you producing for this culture? What are you doing for the government? What are you doing for the people? If you're not producing, you're of age. I mean, you've already worked all your years. You got a boatload of money in your IRA and in your 401k, but all you're doing is consuming. So maybe you just need to go. Or your child, you've got a child in the womb that has a disability that's known of. They're not going to be a good producer. Let's go ahead and abort that child. Think of how these things play into one another as well, and we still don't know. In 1981, they erected in Georgia what were called the Georgia Guidestones. Keyword search that, Georgia Guidestones. Now, that, whoever the wretched, wicked person is that funded that, had it erected, it'd be nice to chase them down and ask them, what in the world were you thinking? Because that, the humongous stones that are etched with words on each face in multiple languages, but it's supposedly laying out a series of principles, and one of them is we need to reduce the population of the planet to 500 million so the planet can be sustainable. Do you understand? And if I'm jumping and kind of reaching on that one, because I don't know that guy or gal. I don't know who did that. But I know that that fits with the craziness that we see within this anthropogenic, man-caused, catastrophic global warming that they want to call climate change. And then the ludicrous statements, like out of this little Swedish girl, you would think that the United States is a major polluter based on their calling carbon dioxide a pollutant. Do you know that we have 25% larger population in the United States than we did in the mid-80s today? 25% more people, but our carbon emissions are flat since then. And if you move to the year 2000, we're down by 10% in the United States. China is up by 208%, India up by 155%, other countries up by an average of 53%. We're down, folks. We've got cleaner water, cleaner air. Across the board, we have less discharge of carbon dioxide. I'm not agreeing with them. It's not a pollutant, but we have less discharge of carbon dioxide. We've got scrubbers on the towers for your coal-fired generation plants. And oh, by the way, you loony lefties running around in your little rechargeable car, I want you to do some homework. your little rechargeable car long term is going to have a greater negative impact on the environment than somebody running around in a diesel. And you know what's even funnier? You have pictures all over the internet showing folks in their little electric cars. They pulled up to a recharge station. The recharge station is hooked up to a 25,000 watt diesel generator. My goodness, where do you think that electricity comes from? It comes from a coal-fired generation plant. It comes from a hydroelectric. You people with the cleanest electricity on Earth, hydroelectric. You nitwits are tearing down hydroelectric generation plants. Why in the world does that make any sense on Earth?
The whole thing is, Greg, to summarize the thought that you just had, and I wanted our listeners to understand it. The whole thing is that we need to understand that we're talking about an imaginary crisis. In fact, here's an article, Pastor Jeffers, Robert Jeffers, the First Baptist Church of Dallas pastor, says, Pastor praises Trump for skipping the UN panel on imaginary climate crisis for a real problem of religious persecution. President Trump will skip a climate change event on the first day of the United Nations General Assembly and will instead deliver a keynote address on global call to protect religious freedom. Pastor Tony Perkins, Robert Jeffers, and Jeffers previewed the president's historic address. In the article, it says, with more than 80% of the world's population living in areas where religious freedom is highly restricted, according to the State Department's International Religious Freedom Report, two pastors tell Fox News Trump's keynote address at the event called the Global Call to Protect Religious Freedom, set for Monday, is a major step for the faithful. In the article, it further says, a third of the world is living under religious persecution, and it is a remarkable thing that this president, President Trump, will skip a UN climate change summit on an imaginary problem to address the real problem, and that is global persecution of Christians. I want our listeners to understand, Greg, that there is a real problem, and it's the persecution of Christians globally, and the climate change is an imaginary crisis. Greg, we've got about a minute and a half to wrap up the broadcast today. I want to tell you that, and our listeners understand, here's an article that says, oops, Nature magazine yanked a global warming study for systemic errors. And it goes on to talk about the errors that was in it. They found that there were fabricated numbers, fabricated baseline figures, fabricated article. And when their attention was called to the fabrication of the article, they pulled the magazine, pulled the article, because it was recognized even by some that were not seasoned in that field to recognize the changes and to recognize it was fabrication. Greg, the bottom line that I want us to talk about this last minute on the broadcast is that in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, the scripture says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So, ladies and gentlemen, there is a fire coming, and it's when God does it to destroy this earth because of sin. We have the rainbow today, ladies and gentlemen, because God has promised and his covenant is he'll never destroy the world with a flood again, but it's coming with fire. Greg, wrap up about the last 30 seconds to our listeners as we close this broadcast today.
You know, there's an Isaiah verse that says, woe unto them that call good evil and evil good, and put light for darkness and darkness for light. Folks, the real challenge in this world, the real problem in this world, the real risk in this world is when we begin to call wrong right and right wrong. I'm glad that President Trump stood up and defended believers around the world and took on an issue that's real, it's genuine, it's palpable, versus this chaos, this hoax, this feigned global warming. You've said it right. The world will melt with a fervent heat, according to the scripture. That's God coming in judgment. And right now, folks, we've been begging for judgment for 50 years. So yes, it's coming. It's coming.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as once again we face the issues.
7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.